Monday night, May 6th at the Hyatt Regency in San Francisco, you're invited to join athletes and celebs at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame Enshrinement Dinner. Be there to celebrate this year's class featuring Olympic swimmer Jenny Thompson, San Jose Earthquakes legend Chris Wondolowski, Niners Super Bowl hero John Taylor, Sharks icon Patrick Marleau, and the architect of the Giants dynasty, Brian Sabian. Be a part of this star-studded evening benefiting Special Olympics Northern California. To purchase tickets, visit bashoff.org. That's BASHOF.org.
And it shoots and scores! Tomas Hurdle hits the jackpot!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Sideboards, picking it up, turning away from a check from Cousins, who fell down. He flips it backhand to Duclair. He hesitates, then he sends off the boards. Back to the point, oh, what you could drive that missed the net. And it ricochets out, and there are two Sharks back, but three Sabres on the attack. Cousins across the line, right wing side, shot, score! That's Paterka getting his second goal of the game. And again, you shoot the puck wide in that sense in the offensive zone. It always ricochets off the corner boards. Sabres read that beautifully. They had a 3-on-2, and that was a pretty nifty pass to get it over to Paterka on the right wing circle to beat Kekkonen to make it 4-2 Buffalo.
You know, it just looked like we thought it was going to be easy. I thought we came out a lot of energy, a lot of pace. And then all of a sudden we get up 2-0, and it was funny how it just changed. You know, we just got away from skating and competing and, you know, playing responsible, and we just weren't able to get it back.
Which is funny, felt like maybe they kind of gave it away there, especially
yes.
At the end of the first period.
Yeah, for sure. Give them credit. You know, I mean, they got a lot of good players over there, and they kind of elevated their game a little bit when they got down 2-0. But I thought we really, as much as they elevated, I thought we went in the other direction. You know, and if we were able to sustain our compete and our pace, I thought, the result might have been different, you know, but I thought our level of compete and our pace really dropped after we got up 2-0.
Yeah, maybe the first one they got, and then the second one before the end of the period as well. Obviously a good start by us, scored on some chances that we got, but I don't think we did enough, around their net maybe. Didn't make it as hard on the goaltender as we would have liked, and gave them a few chances in our defensive zone.
What changed throughout the game? You guys, like you said, you got off to a good start. Why wasn't that sustainable?
I think we just made a few mistakes that led to their goals. In our own end, I don't think we were as tight as we have been over this little win streak. And they capitalized. I think they turned their game up a notch, and we didn't match it, unfortunately. And then we couldn't find a third one.
All right, good morning, everyone. How are we doing on a Sunday morning as we look back at the Sharks' loss to Buffalo Saturday afternoon at the Tank? That was an example of what I felt was one of the Sharks' main issues this year, and that is game management. They got up 2-0 early. Things were rolling along. I think at that point we all thought that was going to be a convincing Sharks win when they jump out to a commanding lead like that, but they did not maintain that pace. They did not maintain that level of compete. The physicality was not there all game long. There were some mistakes. The power play wasn't good. I give the penalty kill for coming up big in some certain moments when they had to, but for the most part, it was a performance where the Sharks, they got themselves out there, but it was not really the game that they were able to play for the entire 60 minutes, and it came back to bite them. And one of the things that I've seen consistently with the Sharks this year, and it's a hallmark of a not great team, and this is not breaking news or anything like that, but they are able to ride momentum, but when that momentum stops, they don't know how to start it again, and they don't know what they can do to reestablish control of the game. And when momentum is there, like it was against the Rangers a couple nights ago, you could feel it swing. Sturm gets that goal, suddenly life is breathed into the San Jose Sharks. They've got the wind in their sails. The crowd is coming alive. They ride that to a victory. But when it's just kind of a stalemate, when things are going the opposite direction, things can go the opposite direction in a real hurry. And I flash back to that first game against Vegas of the season, where it was the final minute and 30 seconds or 2 minutes of the second period, where it went from being a competitive game to giving up a couple of goals, and suddenly it was completely out of reach. And this was a game that I still felt, even when they were down just by one goal heading into that third period, they still couldn't do much to restart anything. They couldn't get their offense going. They couldn't get the physicality going. Yeah, Burrows did get in one dust up after he didn't like a hit, but you know, that's not enough. You can't always rely on a fight to get you going. You can't always rely on someone else's just overall little bit of heat to kind of get things boiling. Everybody has to collectively come together as a team. And for the Sharks, that was lacking yesterday. And I wish there was more to it. But when there is a talent deficit out there on the ice, when you're not as good as the opposition, and I know Buffalo is not a great team, but they have beaten the Sharks, you know, 5-2 and 3-0 now. So I'm convinced they are the better team than San Jose. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. And the Sharks did not have the ability to answer the bell, even though they did jump out to a nice start. There were some positives out of this game, though. Let's start with the debut of Shir Mukhmudulin. I thought that he looked like an NHL player, and he stands 6'5". He has an incredible reach with his stick. You see his offensive ability. You see that he can clog up lanes with his long reach. He, to me, is part of the future of the San Jose Sharks, a big part of that trade when they sent Timo Meier to the Devils, and they got Shakir Mukhmudulin, they got Fabian Zetterlund, they got first-round draft pick, which turned into Quinton Musty, as well as Nikita Ochocinc. But the big part of that trade was the future aspects, like Mukhmudulin or like the top draft picks. But that is part of what you're waiting for, is the future. So when I see Mukhmudulin out there looking in his first NHL game like a player, like something that can be built off of, like a guy who has a incredible amount of potential and immediate ability to contribute, that's exactly what you want to see. I know there has been some consternation about the Barracuda this year and their performance. I think this is just part of the overall process, to use an overused term in sports these days, but it doesn't happen overnight, right? Like, you look at what they have taken from the Barracuda, a top center in Ryan Carpenter, a top player like Justin Bailey, their best forward. You're also looking at a guy in now with Shakir Mukhmudulin coming up and playing with San Jose. I mean, these are players that do have impacts, and you are taking them off the Barracuda roster and putting them on the San Jose roster. And it's not helping the Barracuda, but I think the player development is ready. When Mukhmudulin came up, he was ready to contribute. Justin Bailey and Ryan Carpenter, when they were called up, they were immediately able to contribute. And I think that is as much of the process of having a successful AHL franchise in your backyard as anything else. But back to that future aspect of Mukhmudulin, when you're watching him, you know, jump up into a player, break up a pass, or lead a breakout, or be physical against someone, in conjunction with William Eklund getting two primary assists and making things happen out there on the ice, I think that gives you an idea of what the team is building for. So there was an aspect of the future in this game where you do have also Mark Edward Vlasic, a guy who's been part of the spine of the franchise for nearly 20 years, scoring a goal as his offense has come back to life and his game has really come back to life. And you also have Jan Ruda getting in on the scoring. Of course, an NHL veteran, a champion, this guy knows how to get it done, and his offense is coming back to life. Those are the types of things where you've got both ends of the spectrum. You've got the established veterans getting things done, but you've also got new players making an impact on the game. And so, unfortunately, the Sharks, after those two goals from their defensemen in Vlasic and Ruda, were not able to add on. And that's why I think it's always a little bit concerning when you see your offense come from two non-primary goal scorers, because that means that they are shutting down the rest of the offense. If the good looks aren't coming from Fabian Zetterlund, from Tomáš Hertl, from William Eklund up close, from a Hoffman, although Hoffman did have one good look on the power play, but that was not, it was not consistent throughout the game. And the Sharks, they outshot the opposition early on, 12-10 through the first period. But after that, it was all Buffalo. The Sharks just were not able to get the chances. They were not able to create. They were not able to generate. So that's been more of the Sharks' bugaboo as of late, is the inability, and not even as of late, it's been a season-long thing, but there is not consistent offensive generation. It'll be there for a game. It'll be there for a couple of games, and then it backs away again. And then it'll be back, and then it backs away again. And that's kind of the micro trend of what I've seen with San Jose this year, is that they will make corrections to their game. They will make corrections from one game to the next. They will do it, and then they will backslide again. And then they'll have a couple of games where they work on the mistakes they were making, and then there will be a backsliding. So there's always the regression to what is more of their reality, which is a team that lacks offensive generation, which is a team that lacks overall shot production. They usually rely on pretty good net mining. I didn't think Kapo was amazing yesterday, but I didn't think he was the only problem by any means. Turnovers, you know, crept back into the Sharks game a little bit. Some bad decision-making, some bad passes, and just not enough overall physicality, not overall enough of everything to really kind of will the game and take control of everything happening out there on the ice. We've heard the Sharks talk about their future. They want to be a physical team that's difficult to play against, and while that is a great thought for the future, consistently it is not part of the reality for San Jose. It is not part of what they can do from one game to the next, and you know, looking for that consistency is still something they are trying to do from 1 week, 1 month overall to the next. It's not part of their game as of yet. They are still a learning team. They are still a team which is, you know, full of newcomers and probably not done being full of newcomers. There are going to be players that are going to be moving at the deadline. At least that's how I expect things to happen. And we'll see what happens from there. That's ultimately what I am expecting to happen. And you're going to see more new players come in. You're going to see more of established players go out. And that does not mean the results are going to be great from here to the finish. But you know, I think it's still worth trying to find more consistency in the game, even if it's not something you can always, you know, measure. Because if you are working with a lower level of talent, it's going to be hard to say, well, because the offensive chance generation wasn't there, we can blame that on young and experienced players. Like, no, that's not a valid way to judge things. I think it comes down to effort. I think the Sharks always are putting forth a pretty good effort out there on the ice, but I think that as they are a team that lacks the overall talent, it comes down to the little things like, are your passes smart? Are you finishing your checks? Are you being properly physical out there on the ice? I think if the Sharks do those things well, you watch them have success, even if they are at a talent deficit. Now, success, do we define that as always winning? It's a little bit different, right? Like, you can't always expect them to win, but you can expect them to play better than they did yesterday. And it comes back to what David Quinn said there, bringing us in. It says they got up 2-0, and they thought it was going to be easy from that point. I did feel like instead of, you know, going for the neck, you know, taking the opponent out of the game, getting a third, making it 3-0, they immediately did not show that type of vigor and overall fervor to take control of the game, and they just kind of coasted on that 2-0 lead. And if you're not accelerating away from the opposition, the longer you keep it a two-goal game, and I'm not here to say that the two-goal lead is the most dangerous in sports, but if you're not building upon that 2-0 lead, well, why do you think I always tell you that as the Sharks go into a third period in any game, especially at home, only having given up two goals, that's a winnable game? Because I think that across the NHL, they're thinking, yeah, if we've only given up two, we can score three. We can outdo that. And to the credit of our good friends Brody Brazil and Curtis Brown, there was a reason they used to always harp about two or fewer, because it feels like three goals is always within reach. So the longer the game goes and that 2-0 lead does not extend, that just gives more energy and more reason for the opposition to believe they can get themselves back into it. And I would not expect any less of any other team in the NHL. I think the Sharks and the Rangers the other night is a perfect example. It's only a two-goal deficit. All it takes is one to get you back in the game. As soon as it's 2-1, all you need is one to tie that game. As soon as it's 2-2 and you've got the momentum and the wind at your sails, you can give yourself that extra burst, because all it takes is a little bit of push to get you over the top and get the Avalanche rolling and play that downhill style of hockey. Another positive out of this one is that Tomáš Hertl escaped without being injured. I know that we were all a little bit perturbed when he had to leave the game. I believe that was at the end of the second period due to something, and there was no elaboration on what it was. So, good. You do not want to lose Tomáš Hertl. You want to make sure he is a part of everything this team has to do going forward. I know that, you know, he's open to trade talks, or at least Mike Greer is open to that for him, or for Logan Couture. It's come up. I would be shocked if Tomáš Hertl was moved, just because of how much he means to the franchise right now, and, you know, his leadership and everything he's shown for the franchise up to this point. I don't think the chance is zero that he would get moved, but I do think there is most definitely a chance. So it was good to see him come back out onto the ice looking no worse for wear. Unfortunately for the Sharks, he and every other offensive contributor just never was really able to establish themselves and get anything going and add on to the two goals that they scored. Looking at the game in its totality, Buffalo outshot San Jose 36-25. The only thing San Jose did particularly well in this game was they out-hit the opposition, and they won the faceoffs 55% of the time. So, you know, those, while being nice stats to win, not enough to win you the game. I think more often than not, if you win the shots on goal battle, you are probably going to give yourself a very, very good chance to win. Not always, but I feel consistently that is a factor in getting a win when all is said and done. Looking ahead for the San Jose Sharks and their upcoming schedule, they've got two more before they get to the All-Star break. Hosting Seattle on Tuesday night, and then they are going to be at Anaheim on Wednesday night. And for that Wednesday night game, we are going to be doing a watch party at the Plex in San Jose. I know I will be doing the pregame show live. We're going to be on for an hour. So that should be a fun time. Come out there, watch it, enjoy as the Sharks take on Anaheim and get their last game in before they go into the All-Star break. And then hopefully during that two-week period, the Sharks will be able to give themselves a little bit of a breather and come back fresh and ready. They start off with two on the road at Winnipeg and at Calgary, and then they are going to be hosting Columbus and Vegas, Nashville, Jersey, and Anaheim. So they get five straight at home after the All-Star break, which is very much going to be needed as they try and just really continue the push to the end of the season. And yeah, it's another difficult year for the team, everyone. They are trying to weather the storm of this rebuild. Again, I don't really question the efforts. I question the details at times, but the effort I feel for the Sharks is there. And I think that, you know, it's going to be difficult from here on out, as I do expect movement to come, but still going to be an interesting ride to the finish. And hopefully the Sharks can go out with positivity. Just because they lost one doesn't mean they can't down Seattle at home. To me, that's a winnable game. And Anaheim on the road is a winnable game as well, heading into the All-Star break. We are going to take a break and we'll get into some post-game reaction on the other side. You're listening to Morning Tide, presented by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
By San Jose, but it's intercepted. Oh, Cousins gets by Couture. He's down the left. Hurdle getting back. Empty net. Score! Dylan Cousins makes it 5-2. Empty net goal for the Sabres.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, like I said, they're a high-skilled team. They're going to put the pucks in areas where, you know, it's tough to defend, and, you know, we need to be better defending that, I think. I think, you know, being harder and, you know, being stronger in front of the capo and giving him chances to make saves, and you know, he stood his part again. He did well. He hung in there and he, you know, made big saves for us. And, you know, obviously for us to let him down again, it's tough. And especially all the work that, you know, both those guys have been doing. And, you know, we're going to, like I said, we're going to go back to the video and try to get better tomorrow and the next day after that.
Empty netter from Buffalo and Kyle Burrows bringing us back in on a Sunday morning on Morning Tide as we look back at the Sharks. 5-2 loss to Buffalo. Sharks with the early 2-0 lead, then gave up five unanswered. You give up five unanswered goals unless you are up 6-0. It's not going to end well. It's unusual if you're up 6-0. I'll put it that way. And the Sharks, like you heard from Burrows, they're going to go back to the tape, figure out what went wrong, and try to make it better before they finish up with these two games against Seattle and Anaheim, divisional opponents, to finish off before they head into the break and reset for the flight to the finish, because it is going to be hot and heavy from that point on. It just seems like games every other day from the middle of February to the middle of April, so get ready for a run to the finish. Let's hear what Kyle Burrows thought about the performance from Shakir Mukhamudulin.
Hoist. I think, you know, he came out, you know, was it first 4 seconds, he made a big hit, made an impression on the league right away. And, you know, I think he got better as the game went on. And, you know, obviously there's going to be times during your first NHL game and there's going to be ups and downs, but I thought he handled it pretty well. I thought, you know, he skated well. He's a big, rangy guy. And, you know, I liked what I've seen from him.
And that seems to be the impression that everybody was getting, that poise idea, the fact that he didn't look overwhelmed out there on the ice. I think there's always a moment where young players get out there in the NHL and they realize that they are going up against a different level of competition. And I think that, you know, Shakir Mukhamudulin has only played a limited number of games in the North American style of the game, right? Like, he has learning to do. He is still have a long way to go with the development of his game. But I think from what we saw in one game specifically, there was a lot for him to build upon, and there wasn't a lot where you were thinking, okay, that's a problem, that's an issue. Like, yeah, there were a couple of bad plays that he made out there, but nothing that was overwhelmingly glaring where you thought to myself, oh, this guy, you know, is completely out of his element. No, he looked like he was competent and ready to play at the NHL level, which in game number one is an encouraging start. And I would say he looked more than competent. He looked like he was ready to take on a greater role, and I do not expect to see a lack of him in the lineup. I don't know if he's going to be here for the rest of the year, but I think that he showed in one game that he can play in the NHL. Let's hear what David Quinn had to say.
Like this first shift, stepped up, made a hit, skated, poise. Can see why he was a first-round draft pick, and we acquired him.
And when Quinn was asked if he looked like an NHL player.
He did tonight, that's for sure.
And Quinn was asked about what Mook Madulin has to do from this point on.
Well, I just think, you know, the pace and learning how to play NHL hockey. I don't know if it's one particular thing, but just as, you know, getting acclimated in every area, really, to play in the National Hockey League, finding out, you know, how to use his body. He's a tall kid, but still thin. Learning how to use leverage in his stick and body positioning and a little bit more anticipation with the puck. But for a first-time NHL game, he did very well.
Yeah, with the injury to Henry Thrun, he's been sent to IR, and you also have Mario Ferraro. I don't anticipate him to be back before the All-Star break. It opens the door for these opportunities for players like Shakir Mukhamudulin to come in and get the baptism by fire in the NHL, and I am all for it. You want more and more chances for these prospects to develop their game while the stakes are relatively low. And, you know, there's two ways about it. I think that, you know, Logan Couture and Tomas Hertl came to the Sharks when things were obviously at a very, very high level. And while that can provide a bit of ease to where you have just great players around you, always making great plays, putting you in the best position, you're immediately at a young age in some very, very high stakes level hockey. And the stakes in the NHL are always high. Don't get me wrong there. But right now, you're just getting a chance for these younger players to come in and develop their game. And it's not easy, which I think also has a positive side effect of they're learning how to battle. They are learning how to fight. They are learning how to play in a very, very difficult NHL. There's no easy out, right? Like, you have to play very, very exceptionally talented teams, game in, game out. And I don't mind that happening. It's going to be difficult from this point on from the course of their career. And right now they are figuring that out and trying to make their best play with not the greatest supporting cast around them, each player individually. I think that makes them better in the long run. I look at what Tampa was before they turned up and had their incredible run. I think about what, you know, Colorado was before they turned it up. I mean, that's just how it goes in the NHL. There is a process of prospects coming up, of being able to get to that next level. And I think the Sharks are still very, very early in that process. But when you see William Eklund, when you see Fabian Zetterlund, by the way, is on pace for a 20-plus goal season. I wouldn't be surprised if he finished with 25 or maybe even 30 goals when all is said and done when the season is over. I think he's on pace for like 22 or 23 right now. Guy's having a great year, significantly better than he's ever shown in his past. And you can see why the Sharks acquired him. But when you see, like I said, Eklund and Zetterlund, and you're watching Shakir Mukhamudulin get his chance and immediately look like an NHL player and a relatively impactful NHL player, you realize that the future is maybe not as far off as it would seem to some. And I think that's just part of the process that you're in the NHL. You've got to figure out how to be better. You've got to figure out what you can do at this level in a hurry. And the faster that development comes, the faster you can take those next steps to get to the next level in the NHL. It is just going to make everyone that much better. Captain Couture weighed in on Shakir.
I thought he did well. I thought he looked poised for, you know, his first NHL game. You know, you joke with certain players. You think of guys like Doughty and Heiskanen, and I'm not comparing them to those guys, but those guys play without a heartbeat almost. You know, it's a way of saying it where, you know, you get the puck and, you know, it looks easy. They scan the ice without much panic, and I think Shakir has some of that in his game. Obviously, there's a lot to work on and improve, and he's young, and he's only going to get bigger, and I don't know if he'll get taller, but he'll get stronger, and he'll earn this North American game. I mean, you think he hasn't played too many North American style hockey games in his life yet, so good player, happy to have him.
And Logan also talked about William Eklund, again, a part of the future of the San Jose Sharks.
I thought he played well. He moved well with the puck. You know, he's a very good player, and he's only going to get better. You know, each day that he gets to play in the league and play in different situations, it's only going to benefit this organization. So he's got a great attitude. He works hard. You know, you like him if he's one of your younger players because he wants to improve, and he has that drive and determination to be a better player, him and Zets as well. So I think it's good for the Sharks.
Yeah, Logan knows exactly what these young players are going through, and I think that learning process, it's going to come at you fast in the NHL, but, you know, we're watching William Eklund. To me, like Logan says, I think he's getting better with every game. I think Fabian Zetterlin is getting better with every game. I think that, you know, Shakir Mukhmudulin in one game showed that he has potential to be a player in the NHL, and I don't just mean player like a guy, I mean like a player, like a very, very good player in the NHL. And these are guys that are going to be significantly better in 1 and 2 years from now. The supporting cast is not amazing right now for San Jose. We don't have to beat around the bush, but I think that all these players are learning how to be better players in every opportunity that they are given. That is paramount to me about what the Sharks are taking away from this season. Cooch was also asked about relative disappointment, not being able to get that fourth win in a row.
Yeah, losing sucks, and we've had a good little run here, winning 3 in a row. Anytime you get a 2-0 lead, I know it's early in the game, 10 minutes in or whatever it is, you want to build off of that. You want to go into the period with the lead, not as a tied game, which ended up happening. And I think that took a little momentum away from us. Although 40 minutes left, we still have an opportunity to win a game at home. And disappointing to lose that one.
Yeah, that's the one that gets me, is that the Sharks, even with a 2-0 lead and still 2-1 lead in a 2-2 game, they could never find that response. They could never find that reaction and get themselves reestablished in the game. And that comes with being a bad team. I mean, that's just where the Sharks are right now. I hate to be so blunt about it, but it's that lack of reaction, the lack of ability to reestablish after things are going against you, that will continue to be a problem for the Sharks throughout the rest of this season, I fear. I would love for it not to be. It'd be a great step in the right direction for where they need to be going as a franchise. I just don't know if they are there yet. I think having Logan Couture and Nico Sturm back certainly helps, but you know, even when they get Mikael Granlund and they get Mario Ferraro back in the lineup, it's still going to be a point of emphasis to try and establish themselves at different points during the game. And that's not just, you know, with a lead or being a front-running team. That's when you are down, can you do the little plays to get yourself back into the game? Yes, it happened, you know, in a blip against the Rangers the other night, but that's not been the consistent form of play all year long from the San Jose Sharks, and that to me is going to be the telling point, is when they are able to manage games better, whether it's a lead, can they add on, can they do the little things to put themselves in front, or when they're behind, can they do the little things to get themselves back into it, and that was not what they were able to do yesterday. More from Logan, talking about how he's playing 4 games back into an NHL season.
Yeah, I don't think I was great. Don't know if I was great the other night either, but yeah, trying to contribute as much as I can in different areas. I don't think offensively the chances have come, and I don't think I'm creating enough on the net. I don't even know how many shots on goal I've had through 4 games. So I don't know how long it's going to take. I'm just happy to be playing right now.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the timing of Logan coming back to get some games under his belt and then have the NHL All-Star break to continue to work on his conditioning and feel his body out, as he's not the youngest man anymore, but still obviously a lot of game left for Logan. It'll be a good opportunity for him to get an idea of where he's at, use the break to get that much better, and then come back and be able to do good things for the team from here to the finish. Mark Edward Vlasic also scoring a goal yesterday, his 3rd of the year, his offense coming to life as of late. Logan weighed in on Pickles.
Yeah, he was in the rush. He was skating. He was moving well. He's been playing really well since he's gone back in the lineup on a regular basis here, and scoring goals. Is it 3 now?
Is it 3 defense?
Wow. That's vintage Mark Edward Vlasic.
David Quinn was asked about Vlasic as well as Emberson, but pretty much his thoughts on the team after the first 15 minutes were pretty clear.
You know, obviously, Vlas was involved offensively early, and then just in general, nobody played well after probably the first, you know, 15 minutes, really. I didn't love anybody's game.
And I don't think that is an unfair take for David Quinn to be having. So we look at the standings right now. The Sharks are 13, 32, and 4, 30 points on the year, 6 points back of Anaheim, but 4, 5, and 1 in their last 10, which is not terrible in any way, shape, or form. You look at their 30 points, you compare it to other teams around the NHL, like Anaheim, like I said, they've got 36, Chicago has 30, Columbus has 40, and Ottawa has 38, and obviously we're talking about, you know, bottom teams right now, but, you know, those three straight wins for the Sharks gave them a lot more of an air of respectability, and hopefully they can be that much better as they continue into the break and come out on the other side. Again, I do not overlook the contributions of Logan Couture and Nico Sturm being back in the lineup, and once you get Mikael Granlund back and Mario Ferraro back, it'll give the team that much more of a competitive outlook going forward, even if changes are likely coming as we get towards the deadline. We are all out of time for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.